381, first and last, will be our first selection. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Last verse. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Okay, another favorite, yes. 302. 4 and 6. All right. Verse 4 and then verse 6. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Earth and heaven in chorus say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. Verse 6. King of glory, soul of bliss, Alleluia. Everlasting life is this, Alleluia. Thee to know, thy power to prove, Alleluia. Thus to sing and thus to love, Alleluia. Very nice. One more, I think. Someone else have a favorite? Anyone? Any favorites? Anybody have a suggestion? Yes, Deb. 298, 1 and 4. Deb to the rescue. All right. The Prince of Glory. pour contempt on all my pride.
Verse 4.
Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Thank you very much. We will continue with our service.
Thank you. Just the plug came in the background.
Good morning and happy Easter to everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. I'd especially like to welcome our visitors that are here with us today and hope that you find this service to be inspirational. I'll start off with some basic announcements. Please sign in on the red pew pads at the end of your pew and pass it on to the people next to you in your row. And there are also blue cards in front of you. If you have any prayer requests that you'd like to make, please fill that out and drop it in the plate as you leave the church. And we'd also make sure to invite everyone for coffee and fellowship in the fellowship hall after church. It's down the breezeway. And now on to our announcements. Today is Communion Sunday. If you are worshiping on Zoom at home, please get yourself a glass of juice or water and some bread next to your computer, and we will partake communion together. The Good Samaritan Fund. Please give money or Stater Script cards to the Good Samaritan Fund. The money is used to help those less fortunate with food. We are in the month of April now, and we have April birthdays. We have Edna Barrett, Deb Davidson, Tim Mertz, Darlene Coleman, Bill Harps, Judith Wheeler, Lorena Van Winkle, David Brown, Charles Stroll, and Robin Harps. Wish you a happy birthday and enjoy your month.
Shall we sing Happy Birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear my friend. Happy birthday to you. We have Charles with us. He's what, about 55 years old? I'm still 29, by the way. Happy birthday to David. And we have, Edna. Edna, the delightful one. Edna means delight in Hebrew. So, happy birthday.
The April newsletter is available in the narthex as you leave. Please contact the office if you'd like to change your delivery method. You can either have it mailed, emailed, or pick it up here in the church office. And the next pastor's luncheon will be April 8th. That's this Wednesday at noon at Legend China 8 in Kalamasa, and the price is $15 per person. You can sign up at the script table in the fellowship hall or call the church office to get registered so they know how much food to order.
For those of you who do not know, it's the best deal in town. So try it.
Yes, it is very good food, and it's a good time. Okay. And there will be an Easter egg hunt after worship for the children in the courtyard. And fellowship time, as I mentioned before, with coffee and other refreshments across the breezeway for everyone. So please join us. Now is the time for the call to worship. If you'll stand and join me. It is printed in your bulletin and also on the screen. Rejoice, heavenly power. Sing, choirs of angels. Exalt, all creation around God's throne.
Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation.
Rejoice, O Holy Church. Exalt in glory. The risen Savior shines upon you.
Let this place resound with joy. Echoing the mighty songs of all God's people.
We will now sing our opening hymn, number 322, Up From the Grave He Arose, verses 1 through 3.
Lowly in grave he lay,
my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty trumpet overflows. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he will live forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph of the foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
We will now pass the peace, so please pass the peace to your neighbors.
Happy so to you. Thank you. All right, while you are going back to your seat, let's welcome all those who have come to worship with us on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning on Zoom. Good morning to you, Helen. Happy Easter to you. And happy Easter to you, George and Kenny. For those of you who do not know them, Helen is up in Chico, and Joe's in Arkansas, and Kenny, he is in Georgia. And happy Easter to you, Alicia, and Chris, June, and Mel. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everyone.
It's now time for the sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have something to share, please raise your hand and Deb will give you the mic.
Please continue to pray for my sister Melissa with her battling lupus. And my hip replacement surgery is tomorrow morning, very early. I'd appreciate your prayers as I finally get this procedure taken care of, and will be walking better afterwards, probably a week or so afterwards. But thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it.
All right.
I'd like to have prayers for my daughter, Carrie Carney, and her family. Her father-in-law passed away a couple days ago from Parkinson's that he's had for many, many years.
Judith Thompson here. I have a couple of prayer requests. First one is for my friend Priscilla Aquino. Her husband Richard passed away a couple of weeks ago. He had been ill. I've known Richard and Priscilla forever. It seems like Priscilla and I worked together. And Richard had a full career in the Air Force. I think he retired as a colonel. And is just one of the nicest people I've ever known. So prayers for that family. And prayers for my sister, Alita Kirker. Yesterday, she's been on some antibiotics and stuff, but when she's on them too long, it kicks off another problem, which gets more antibiotics, which kicks off another problem. she knew she wasn't feeling great, so she decided to go to the ER. They admitted her. She got a bed at 3:00 this morning. And she's been on IVs. They're administering all her medication by IVs. And her husband, this final thing is very, very super contagious. He's allowed to go up and see her, mask down, the whole business. And I've pretty much been warned not to because this is so contagious. So it's called C. diff, and some of you probably heard of it, but it can be very nasty. So please pray for my sister, Alita Kirker.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
Lauren's memorial service is going to be held this coming Saturday at Elks Lodge at 1. Is that 12:30? At 12:30. So if you would like to attend the memorial service, there is a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. Just write down your name so that I can inform the family how many of us are coming. Okay? Thank you.
Hi. Happy Easter to everyone. This is Judy Salveson. I have a joy that today my family is getting together. I'm going to have my two sons and their families with my two little grandchildren. And we are getting my brother from Hemet and bringing him. This will be the first time he's been out of bed since September. And we're hoping it goes well. He's very, very weak, but he's looking forward to it. And my niece is also coming from Ojai with her daughter. So it should be a marvelous day. And it's a beautiful day to be out. And I think my brother is just jonesing for some sunshine. So
Yep, I'm happy for all the families that get together today and all the families that are here visiting, and it's just wonderful to see you all.
Could we get to know some of the visitors today?
Would any visitors like to tell us who they are?
If they don't mind.
We have here the Harvard bench.
Good morning. My parents are Matt and Donna Harvard, and I'm Holly, previously Harvard, but I'm here with my husband, Jason, daughter, Sayla, and father-in-law, Audie. And we attended this church probably 20 years ago and decided to come back and visit today. Yeah, I live in San Diego now with my family, so we're just... I know, it's a couple hours, you know. Yeah. Anyway, nice to see you all.
Welcome back.
All right. And my name is Chuck Crabtree. My parents are Bruce and Linda, so people probably know them. They've been here for a little while. I'm here with my wife and kids today. We're just out and about and thought we'd come by and say hi.
Welcome.
Would anyone else like to introduce themselves? Okay, you can be shy. It's good. Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
Now, if you will please join me in the unison prayer as printed in your bulletin or on the screen. Dear Lord Jesus, the entire world was shrouded in darkness until you arrived. The power of sin reigned over us, and we failed miserably, devoid of hope for salvation. Yet, in unconditional love, you bore the weight of our sin and suffered death on our behalf. You forever defeated the old serpent's grip on us by rising from the dead. Our lives are no longer the same. We share in victory and eternal life through your resurrection. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering the concerns and prayer requests shared with us and those whom that God has placed in our lives, and all those people in need around the world. Let us continue to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we celebrate your presence with us today, and especially this Sunday reminds us of your living presence with us eternally, reminds us the victory. We have faced many problems, and with your help, we have overcome them all. We have come this far. Our lives has been victorious because of your presence in our lives. Even though we see issues and problems and barriers on our way, we know that we will be victorious again with your living presence in our lives. So thank you, Lord, that you have given us this faith that we may experience you in our daily living. We may see you, we may be able to touch you, we may hear your voice, we may have this assurance of your presence with us. We are never alone, we never walk by ourselves, but with you all the days of our lives, until we see you face to face in your kingdom. So Lord, empower us today with the assurance of your living presence. You are the risen Christ. You are the living God. And we live with that living God in our lives. So thank you, Lord, for your presence. thank you for your mighty acts that you do. We can see you, O Lord, because you manifest your power unto us whenever we go through trials and temptations. And we pray, O Lord, that we will be clothed with this power of resurrection today, that we may be able to tell people that you are there for them, that you are with them. So, Lord, use us as the messengers of the resurrection so that the world may hear the good news of your presence in this troubled world. We have many that you have given unto us, O Lord, and our heart go out to them. Whatever the issue they are dealing with, we pray, O Lord, that you show your presence unto them so that they too may experience your living presence. You are the one who lives forever. You are our sovereign God. Our life belongs to you, O Lord. You are the one who has everything under your control. And to your power, to your will you have for us, we yield and pray, Lord, you use us individually. Use this church. Use the churches worldwide to be the beacon of hope and salvation, that your will may be accomplished, that your kingdom may be built here on earth. So now, as we confess that you are the risen Christ, we now join our prayers, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 302, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. 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 Sing ye heavens and earth reply, alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, alleluia. Lives again a glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, alleluia. Once he died our soul to save, alleluia. Where thy victory boasts in grave, alleluia.
Our Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. The resurrection of Christ. Now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain and your faith is in vain. The word of God for the people of God.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna. Streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow upon a lonely hill. Bethlehem. Hark how the angels sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars at night, or sun to shine by day.
Good morning. For those of you who are not familiar with how we worship, we do this every Sunday. See what you miss? Welcome to all of you here in this beautiful sanctuary and also on the Zoom. And I pray the presence of the living Christ is going to touch each and every one of us and remind us that he is with us this morning. Amen. Amen. At the end of a long and very fulfilling life, three men died and arrived at the pearly gate where Saint Peter came out to meet them. He said, "Gentlemen, before I let you in, I have just one question. What would you most like to hear your friend and family say at your funeral?" The first man said, "I devoted my life to medicine. I would like to hear them say, I was a great doctor who saved many lives and gave people a second chance." The Peter nodded, "Very noble." The second man said, "I was a teacher and a family man. I loved my student and my children, and I tried to teach them not just from textbook, but how to live. I would like to hear them say, I was a wonderful teacher and father, and that I made a real difference in the life of young people." St. Peter smiled. "That's a life well lived." Then he turned to the third man, "And what would you like to hear them say at your funeral?" The third man thought for a moment and said, "Well, those are both very nice, but I guess if I had my choice, I'd rather hear someone say," he paused and then said, "Look, he's moving!" not everyone believes in the resurrection and life after death. According to LifeWay Research, 66% of Americans say the biblical accounts of Jesus' physical resurrection are completely accurate. And of course, those 66% of Americans would be Christians. A recent BBC poll found that only 46% of adults in Britain believe in the actual death and resurrection of Christ. A 2008 poll by Obradorio de Sociologia, that's a workshop of sociology, found that 35% of Spaniards believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I assume that the percentage of in France and Germany are lower than in Spain. And it is sad to see the decline of Christianity in those countries. Why do people not believe in the resurrection? Resurrection does not make sense and does not appeal to the rational mind. How do believers understand resurrection when it doesn't make sense? Because God's grace works in believers' heart and help them understand things that are supernatural. And we'll look at the role of God's grace in this regard. All four Gospels accurately describe the reactions of faithful followers on Easter morning. Each was shocked by the news of the resurrection, despite Jesus repeatedly predicting it and them witnessing him rise others from the dead multiple times. Why did they not believe in the resurrection? It simply was not rational for them. They needed to see with their own eyes. Only then would they believe something as extraordinary as resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 lists the people who encountered the resurrected Christ, including the disciples. Cephas, that's Peter, and the 12 disciples, 500 followers, James and Paul. Now, we will focus on James and Paul, whose lives were changed by witnessing the resurrection. James here was different from James, one of the 12 disciples. James, the disciple, suffered martyrdom in Acts 12. Who was this James in 1 Corinthians 15? He was a half-brother of Jesus. Matthew 13:55 mentioned the names of four half-brothers that Jesus had: James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. John 7:5 says that they did not believe in Jesus. This aligns with the description in the Gospels that Jesus was rejected in his hometown. Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Jesus faced disbelief in his hometown and from his family. He did not perform many works there because of their unbelief. But somehow, the James, the half-brother of Jesus, was changed. In Acts and Paul's letter, James was no longer an unbeliever, but a key leader of the Jerusalem church. Paul in Galatians 2:9 mentioned James, Peter, and John as pillars of the Jerusalem church. In Acts 15, James was the main speaker at the Jerusalem Council. James is the author of the Epistle of James and is commonly called James the Just. The historian Josephus wrote that James was falsely accused of breaking the law by the high priest Annas and was stoned to death in 62 AD. What caused the change in Jesus' half-brother James? Acts 1 states that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' half-brothers were all present, praying with the disciples in the upper room after Jesus' ascension. The brothers did once not believed in Jesus, but had become believers by then. From the fact that Paul specifically mentioned James as one of those who met the risen Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, we can infer that when James met the risen Christ, he became a believer. And the same likely apply to the rest of the half-brothers. The encounter with the resurrected Jesus transformed Paul as well. Even though he was once the worst kind of unbeliever, let me quote Paul's own word about how he persecuted the believers. In Acts 26, Paul said, "This is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities." One reason Paul violently persecuted Christians was likely because he was a Pharisee. Pharisees opposed Jesus throughout his public ministry. Paul was not just any Pharisee, but a very fervent one. The encounter with the risen Christ changed Paul. Because of his experience, the resurrection became an undeniable act. Paul wrote a detailed and serious defense of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. Just before he laid out his argument to prove the resurrection of the dead, Paul said in verse 10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Why did Paul mention grace here? He saw grace directly behind his experience of the resurrection of Christ, resurrected Christ, and his conversion. Due to his Jewish faith and personal tendencies, Paul was prone to persecuting the church rather than believing. But God's grace was given to him even while he was killing and imprisoning believers. Paul was a highly educated and intelligent man and would have found it hard to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Yet God's grace chose him, and the resurrected Jesus appeared to him. He says in Galatians 1 that God set him apart from his mother's womb and called him by his grace. What we see in Paul's life is that God's grace is available even to non-believers or those who don't deserve it. What kind of grace is this? The grace found in Jesus, who died for our sin while we were yet sinners. The grace available before someone become believers. Grace available while Paul was persecuting the church. He didn't deserve it, but grace was still available, right? John Wesley described this grace as prevenient grace, the grace given before. John Calvin called it predestination. We are no different from James and Paul. We are rational beings and cannot easily comprehend irrational events and aspects of the Bible. People without faith do not and cannot grasp the core principle of Christian faith as expressed in the Apostles' Creed. You think about the Apostles' Creed. God is the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus is the Son, and he was born of a Virgin Mary. And he died and resurrected, and there's a life after death. all those things. It's hard to believe. But we do. How do we understand and believe them? Is it because we are especially intelligent? No, it is because God's grace works in our heart, helping us understand. Without God's grace, having faith is simply impossible. How many of you are a fan of John Lennon? Some. You guys know that there was two books written about John Lennon? The Final Days of John Lennon and Lennon in America. Okay? And this is an article from Christianity Today, published in June 2000. Two books on John Lennon claim that Lennon experienced a brief period as a born-again Christian during the 1970s. While living the life of a virtual recluse in New York's Dakota Building, Lennon became an avid viewer and reader of American TV evangelists, and at some point during 1997, declared that he had been saved. The books agree that the period during which Lennon peppered his everyday conversation with "Praise the Lord" and "Thank you, Jesus" was brief. It lasted for a matter of a month or about 2 weeks. Very short time. Both books have based their information on sources close to Lennon and to the singer's personal diaries. Lennon in America pinpoints the conversation to a Palm Sunday and says that Lennon was so moved by a series about Jesus broadcast on Robertson's CBN that he broke down in tears. In the following weeks, he attended church services and took his son Sean to a Christian theater performance. He even called the 700 Club helpline to request prayer for his health and troubled marriage. Lennon began to challenge Yoko Ono, interest in the occult, and was disappointed she wouldn't join him in watching Graham's telecast. The dramatic conversion worried Yoko. She feared John's new faith would clash with her own ideas about spiritualism and threaten her iron hold over him. In the end, Yoko Ono won. In his final years, he was living a life dedicated by astrologers, numerologists, clairvoyant psychics and herbalists, and tarot card readers. The song "You Save My Soul" that Lennon wrote during his born-again period has never been released. Isn't that surprising? And I don't know much about him. I did a little bit of research. You know the song, "Imagine There's No Heaven," you know? He wrote that in 1971, and this conversion happened in 1977. So he was given a chance to be saved, but he was persuaded back to something else, and I'm not sure whether he was saved or not. Having faith is so difficult. It's not easy. Faith involves many irrational and supernatural concepts that are difficult to understand. This godless world we live in constantly tries to take our faith away. We must continually battle doubt both inside and outside ourselves. Most of all, we are unworthy because of our sin. Despite all these obstacles to coming to God, God has given us grace even when we did not deserve it. And God's grace has always prevailed over our weaknesses. By God's grace, I am what I am. That's what Paul said, and we can confess the same. By God's grace, we have become what we have become. You know, we think that we make our personal decision to believe in Jesus, but there's a lot greater things hidden behind our decision. It's like 99% of all the works God does through His grace, and it's probably less than 1% we do. That is our personal decision making. By His grace, we are saved and given faith in the crucified and risen Christ, who has promised us eternal life with a resurrected body. Amen. Let us now prepare ourselves to come to the table of God's mercy at this time. And those of you who worship with us on Zoom, you can grab a piece of bread and juice, a cup of grape juice, with you so that you can participate in the communion with us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we take the broken piece of bread, we remember the broken body of Christ Jesus on that cross. We all drink from one cup, which Jesus has prepared for the forgiveness of our sins. He bled and died. He bled till the very last drop. So we drink this cup and remember the forgiveness that Christ Jesus offered to us. So let us now, with gratitude and thanksgiving, take the bread and drink from the cup.
It is now the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can leave an envelope in the plate as you leave the sanctuary or send them into the office. And we will now have special music by our choir.
Thank you. God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures to hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of leaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Dear Lord, our crucified Lord and resurrected Savior, we recognize your cross is for us. And whenever we stand before your cross, O Lord, we know that we are forever indebted for our salvation. So this offering is to recognize what you did in that old rugged cross and also the recognition of your living presence in our lives. We bless you, O Lord, in what we do. And we ask you to receive this offering, bless it, that it may be used to glorify your name through the mission and ministries of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 310, He Lives.
Of a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever false may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He loves me, with me, talks with me, a long life there away. He lives, salvation to Him part. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The days of disappearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks a long life near away. He lives, salvation to Him part. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life near away. He lives, salvation to Him part. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart.
Let us pray. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for living in our heart. Thank you for giving us the proof of your living presence over and over and over. Because you live, this life, however we may feel, O Lord, is worth the living. So, Lord, send us forth in this joy of resurrection, hope of this life, that we may continue to live with the assurance of your presence, no matter what challenges we face today. Send us, therefore, in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in steadfast, strong and true. And shall you believe, reach out to others so all the world can see, God will be there, watching from above.
Please take the lilies in there in front. Thank you.